You know, biblical literacy is an issue that we're all concerned about. How well do our kids really know the Bible? Well, Explore the Bible Kids provides book-by-book studies that take your kids through the whole Bible in a way that will deepen their Bible knowledge. You can preview 4 weeks of Explore the Bible Kids at lifeway.com/explorethebible. And now, our episode. Hi, listeners. Welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I am your host, Chuck Peters. Co-hosting with me today is my partner, Jana Magruder. Hi, Jana.
Hey, everyone.
And
hey, Chuck.
We are talking today about an issue that is going to hit home with every one of you, guaranteed, right?
Absolutely.
That issue is recruiting and retaining helpers.
Yes.
Right? Because once you have a kids ministry, the one thing that you need, well, one of the main things that you need, right, is other people to help you. So if we know you can't do ministry alone. You've got to have, it takes a team. And so we're going to be talking today with an expert in this area, our good friend David Francis. David is director of Sunday School at Lifeway. As a minister of education who championed kids ministry, David has deployed a system that he staffed 3 Sunday school sessions without relying on bonus teaching hour workers. And he's got a system in place that's going to help you gain insights into working with adult staff and classes to create a culture that rewards serving over sitting. Because we need to get those people out of their chairs and into service. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's the best job. That's why I teach preschool, because it's the funnest thing to do in the church, and it's always a really great joy to get people involved rather than sitting in an adult class to work with kids.
So you have a 5-step strategy, or you've got a set of 5 tips for us that are going to help us through this process.
I don't know if it's steps, but it's 5 things.
But
it's
they all start
ideas.
With the same letter.
They do. They all start
That's
with.
That's very important.
They all start with E. And so if you want to write down there, elevate, enlist, equip, encourage, and emphasize. So those are the 5 E's. And we can kind of unpack those together.
That's great. I'm excited about this topic because I tell you what, David, we talk to, and I know you do as well, children's leaders across the country who will tell us that their number one pain point in ministry is recruiting volunteers. But I will say from experience, recruiting is one hurdle, but the work is not finished yet for us as leaders. So we'll turn around and we've got to figure out how to retain these volunteers, these workers, these teachers. So that's why we just love having you here, because we know that you've worked with so many churches throughout your career.
Many years.
Yes, and have so much wisdom to offer us in this area. So we're excited to hear what these 5 E's are.
Well, and right, because we kind of all default to get up on the platform and beg people. Right? We need just 5 more, just
yes.
any 3 people,
Been there,
anybody.
Done that. Yes.
Yeah.
But we really don't want to default to just getting warm bodies in the room, right? We need a higher quality worker that we can enlist and then retain so that we are elevating our ministries.
You know, I would never do that.
Where do you start? How do you?
Well, I should start with not ever doing that.
Well, it doesn't work very well, so that's good advice.
This season right now is the time when workers are turning in their resignations and deciding to quit. So one thing is, don't make it too easy for them to give up and to quit. But you start off by elevating children's ministry all year long. You got to elevate ministry to kids all year long. Show videos, show photos. I show photos all the time. I've got years and years and years of photographs from our time working with mostly 4-year-olds and kindergartners in Sunday school. Of course, I have developed. I've shown some people. I've developed a new technique, which is the faceless photograph, so that you don't have any faces, but you show the kids doing their activities. People need to kind of vicariously be in a kid's room. So if you can do that regularly and show videos and show photographs and talk about, this is a lot of fun, we'll train you, we'll equip you, it just really helps to set the stage rather than just, you know, there's this kind of mysterious kind of place down there on the first floor that some of you drop your kids off at, and we need you to go in one of those rooms and do whatever they do down there.
Yeah. You know. Because people don't feel qualified necessarily, and they may not feel called. So how does giving them that experience, that opportunity to see into the kid's face, how does that help prepare them for when you do make the ask?
Well, it removes the mystery. And then you elevate. You can talk about the history of Sunday school and the way it was intended to reach kids. In fact, one of the things about Sunday school, just kind of from a trivial standpoint, that separates it from small group ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of churches want to do the small group thing. Sunday school always historically was about kids first. Mm-hmm. It's always been about it's about kids, and then it asks the question, what are we going to do with the adults who are not working with the kids? And we've done a pretty good job of that. The small group movement's about adults.
Yeah.
And then it asks the question, what are we going to do with the kids? And the verdict is still out on whether or not that's done very well. But you elevate, talk about Jesus and the kids. Mm-hmm. Jesus liked kids. Jesus was a kid. He liked kids. He rebuked his disciples when they didn't let the kids come be with him. So You just elevate all year long, not just during this one season, mm-hmm. but all year long, talking about kids ministry, getting testimonies of kids ministry, getting people in the room through the visual stuff. There's one church, First Baptist Norfolk, Virginia, that has these huge pictures of all its children's workers on the walls
around the building. The workers, not the kids. Okay.
No, the workers around the building. And it has this really big picture, and then it's got Jana Magruder, fourth grade Sunday school teacher since 1937.
Wow. So they're making heroes out of the workers.
Oh, absolutely.
That's great.
In fact, I saw a group of these people one time and just said, what do y'all do if somebody takes the picture? If you quit, do they take the picture down?
Yeah.
You go by and tell your grandkids, see that kind of spot there where the paint's not faded? That's where my picture used to be.
But I quit.
Yeah.
You put the hyphen and then the year that they stopped serving.
Right.
Kind of serve to motivate. But that idea of making heroes of the workers is a great idea, right? Because it elevates this. This is not just childcare. We're not just looking for babysitters to sit in the room. This is ministry. And so giving that, helping them share in the why, the mission of what we're doing, is an important part.
And everybody likes to celebrate it. You're never going to hurt anything by showing pictures of kids' rooms and talking about this is what our church does on behalf of kids. You know, kids are important to us. The second E is to enlist regularly and personally. Right now, there are a whole bunch of kids ministers who are sending out cards in a letter. And somebody's getting a letter, and inside it's going to say, I'm going to work it next year, yes or no. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Too easy to opt out.
Yeah, it's too easy to opt out. And I remember a preschool minister who served with me. She had a really big turnover rate, and so I just said, I'm going to change her name, Linda. Linda, you got to call everybody this year. She said, that'll take forever. I said, it won't take nearly as long as replacing all the ones who say no. And so I just said, do it like I do it. Of course, I was working with adults, and it was easier to do. Didn't have as many positions to fill, but just to pick up the phone. And this may sound manipulative, but this is what I ask. Hey, Chuck, I really have enjoyed you working this year. You've done a great job. Can I count on you again next year, or should we look for something else for you to do?
Ooh, I like that.
You know, it's not, so, do you want to quit?
Right.
It's a...
The assumption is that you're serving somewhere.
Yeah, you're serving. So, and let's talk about it. And so that year, her retention rate went from 30% to 70%. So it was worth making the...
That's great. The one-on-one ask is really powerful because, like you said, it's harder to say no face-to-face. I like to take people out to coffee to kind of re-up for the next year. It's even, develop that relationship too. But also, if it's done through an announcement or a letter, it's really easy to kind of go to the place where you think, oh, someone else is going to do that. Someone else will do that. You don't feel the personal ask when it's just a broadly broadcasted kind of announcement from the pastor.
And every age group has an excuse.
Yeah.
The young adults, they have kids all the time, so they don't want to do the kids. The senior adults have done their time.
Been there, done that, yeah.
They've done their time. The median age adults are busy and traveling and stuff like that. So they've all got excuses or reasons not to do it. But in reality, one of the tasks of adulthood, going into the middle age years, into the senior adult years, is as PSJ called it, a regenerativity. Am I going to invest in the next generation, or am I just going to sit back and, you know, let the world go on and happen? For senior adults, one of the tasks of adult development is integrity versus despair. Did I make a difference? Mm-hmm. Anybody who works with kids in Sunday school for years and years, you made a difference.
Yeah.
And at their memorial service, somebody can say, you know, she taught Sunday school mm-hmm. for X number of years. It's a wonderful tribute. Mm-hmm. And you can appeal to that with people and just say, I preached in our church on this emphasis, and there was this one man, he's like 90 years old, and he came up and said, well, I was going to quit this year, but I guess I'll keep going.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so he has gone to be with the Lord now. And,
bless him. But know. I bet they read that he was a Sunday school teacher at his memorial.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, without any question.
What is the secret to the longevity, like the 30-year Sunday school teacher that you hear about? In your experience, have you seen a common trait either from the church pouring into those people or just from that kind of person?
You know, I'm not really sure, Jana. I think it's
they do love Jesus a lot.
Well, they do, and they like working with kids, and mm-hmm. they've done that. And there's probably one negative side. They may be disconnected from an adult group, or this is kind of the team that they're a part of. I think it just if you do it long enough. I mean, we're part of it. We're fortunate enough to go to a church that has three sessions, and so we can do worship and teach 4-year olds and do an adult class all on the same morning. Most people don't have that,
right?
And they just can't fathom going and sitting in a boring adult class mm-hmm. instead of sitting on the floor with some preschoolers and see if you can meet their challenge, like I did a couple of weeks ago, to see if we could stack the blocks all the way to the ceiling. Mm.
Did you make it?
Yeah, we did.
Awesome.
And then they kicked them over.
You mentioned that there are different excuses for all the different ages, right? Everybody has a reason to not mm-hmm. be there. But so important to have a mix of ages of people serving, too, right? There's no reason to exclude anyone.
Mm-hmm. And genders.
Mm. Yeah.
We need guys. Mm-hmm. There need to be men in classes, and they think, you know, this is just for the ladies. And so we would go in and challenge. I would go in and challenge guys to say, hey, you want to be like the greatest grandfather ever? Young adult couples that, you know, we don't have any kids yet. That's what you want to be. You plan to? You want to be like a great parent? You want some of the greatest parent training you can ever have? Go teach preschoolers. Mm-hmm. You want the best training you can ever have for a school-age kid? Go teach kids. All the way up, you know, the line ends. So there's, you appeal, I mean, there's some selfishness that you appeal to.
Right.
But, you really make a difference. I think that's what it is, you get hooked.
Yeah. And going back to the parent thing, I'm always a big believer that parents who want to opt out because they're with their kids all the time, don't get a pass, that they really, in most circumstances, should be serving, because if kids don't grow up with their parents serving, will they have the model to follow when they get older? Will they serve the church?
Exactly.
And so I use that tactic with parents who want to.
Yeah, in general, if you kind of lay the foundation, at the mm-hmm. end of the day, it's you and me sitting and having a conversation, and I tell you what I need and what's expected and what we're going to provide you. And which is one of the other reasons to equip people with the stuff.
So that personal invitation, as far uh-huh. as enlisting, sounds like that's something that's a really important thing that you recommend. Don't just make that announcement. Make it a personal engagement, a phone call, coffee, face-to-face, and then share that personal need, what the difference you can make. Okay, so then once you've enlisted that person, uh-huh. how do you equip them? Or because people are feeling, well, I may be willing, but I don't know if I'm ready.
Well, one of the things you do is you give them the best space you can possibly provide for them. That's what a lot of churches, I travel around the country and look at Sunday schools. Churches pretend, I'll ask churches in consulting, what are you pretending not to know? Hmm. And a lot of churches are pretending not to know that their preschool space in particular and their kids' space is just not good enough. You know, they've neglected it, and they expect, we want to reach young families, they'll say, well, you know, let's go take a look at your preschool and children's area and see if anybody would want to leave their child there. Well, people don't want to work in those environments either. Mm-hmm. And so if a worker knows that the space that's been created and made available for kids is really good. That helps. I mean, you feel good about going to work in a place that's obviously a priority, great resource room, great stuff. You know, I joke around about, I'll tell groups that great curriculum. Even small churches to say, I was just recently with a bunch of small churches in Princeton, Kentucky, and I said, some of you will say, well, you know, we can't afford the leader pack. We can't afford the music. We can't afford those things. I said, you can't afford not to have that. You've got to have the same kind of experiences as everybody else does, as the big church down the street does, because your kids deserve that, and the workers deserve it. It's hard to be in a room with kids without enough stuff to do your job effectively. And so you equip them with the best you can do, the best you can afford, the best space that you can have, and equip them with training.
Yeah, that's important.
What have you found, Jana, is some of the best training for like a new preschooler children's worker?
Well, like specifically to the curriculum or just in general?
Just in general.
Well, I think it's important to first of all have the training, and really I find that churches are doing less and less training, and that might be part of the problem. But make it mandatory, but in a fun way. So you need to get them there. So that probably means you need to provide maybe a little childcare, maybe meet them where they are. So I always say after church, they're already on campus, mm-hmm. have a little bit of lunch. It doesn't have to be fancy. Order Subway sandwiches or your grocery store Subway sandwiches, whatever. Subs, I guess I should say. Make it easy, but provide a little bit of food, provide a little child care, and make it mandatory so that they have to be there. And like you said, if they're trained, they're going to feel so much more confident about what they're doing and what you're asking them to do. And then be able to really model what a lesson looks like. So you take all this scariness, like you said, mm-hmm. and the mystery, what am I going to do with these two-year-olds, or what am I going to do with these fifth-grade boys? My husband right now is teaching 20 fifth-grade boys, he and another gentleman. Wow. And they're across the hall from me in my 10 fourth-grade girls' class. And I always look at my girls and say, I'm so glad that we're together and not in that fifth-grade boy class. So, but how do you prepare people to do what their specific age group does? So that's with training, and I think you make it mandatory so that they're not just flying by the seat of their pants.
You know, I don't want to be negative about some things, but you know, I said don't send out the card that lets you too easily say no. If you're going to train, have one big training once a year, this is just for people who lead kids ministries. The temptation is to not to help the workers get ready to teach in the room, but rather to go through the notebook of the policies and procedures, yeah. and all the things they're supposed to do and not do, and
right.
and that security, all that stuff's important. Mm-hmm. What people desperately need is, okay, I've got these fifth graders, I've got these 5-year olds, I've got, you know, mm-hmm. what am I supposed to do?
Right.
What am I supposed to
do? I know what I'm supposed to not do.
Yeah, you've made it abundantly clear what I'm not supposed to do, but what am I supposed to do?
And that has to come from you as the leader, mm-hmm. right? We right. have to prioritize that to train our people. We've, as you know, serving in the church over years, my wife and I have moved around the country and lived in many different places and served in many different places. There have been quite a few where, you know, you show up and there's a folder on mm-hmm. the counter, and that's when you learn what you're teaching that day, and you may or may not have everything you need to do it, and you are not feeling confident about that experience. So if you can set your people up for success, not, with the curriculum for one, but yeah. also with knowing here's how you engage with a child, you know, get
right.
down on their level, look them in the eye, play with something side by side together as you talk. So all those kind of strategies that
best practices
as leaders we mm-hmm. may yeah. we may be well aware of, we need to make sure we're communicating those on to our helpers
right.
so they feel confident in those rooms.
You know, sometimes you can sneak in some training during an enlistment.
We'll just
go around into I mentioned a young adult class. Go to a young adult class. They don't have any kids yet, and say you know, well, I'm here to try to convince some of you to come work with kids this year. It'll help you be a better parent. For example, I started teaching kindergartners at a First Baptist Church in Lakewood in Tacoma, Washington, when I was just 21 years old. And they enlisted me to do it. And I said, you know, I have more to offer than just teaching kids. Well, it was a wonderful experience, and I learned so much. One of the things was how to help a child get ready to put a puzzle together. Well, you always put the puzzle pieces face up on the left side of the puzzle, because moving the pieces from left to right is a pre-reading skill for a preschooler. Mm-hmm. And I say, young adults, did you know that?
What you did there.
See?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of training ahead of time, and you're subtly saying, there's a science to this,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
You know, this is not just babysitting. Right. This is important developmental stuff.
Well, what's our next E?
It's encourage.
All right. Something we all need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does that fit?
You know, sometimes it's even the little silly things. I've become to appreciate the Hershey's Kiss taped to a card on Valentine's Day that says, you're sweet for teaching. I used to think that was, it's just a little reminder.
Mm-hmm. Acknowledgement.
We have in our church, anytime there's a fifth Sunday, that happens about four or five times a year. Anytime there's a fifth Sunday, there's a special snack brunch table, a room set up. For the preschool workers, mm-hmm, in the preschool area, we look forward to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like you want to police people and say, "I don't think you'd work with preschoolers. Get out of our room." You know, it's a special thing, and so those little things. Our preschool minister lives out in the country, and so we have a once a year thing where there's a get together. It's well attended. Just come out there and eat barbecue and hang out. Training, couple, three times a year that also have, some fellowship aspect to them. But, you know, it's a lot of it's just the little things, the emails, the group email.
That word of encouragement goes a long way.
Yeah, and it's subtle. You see your name among this list. It's not a blind copy. You know, got everybody on there. Occasionally somebody will do the big no-no and reply to everybody else.
Oh, no.
But nevertheless, you know, you see, I'm part of a team.
Yeah.
And so the encouragement, we appreciate you.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but just something that came to mind, especially if you are taking a season or multiple seasons outside of your adult discipleship. So you have to have that community, that church community, somewhere else if you're not going to have it in an adult class. That children's minister really needs to foster the community of those you're serving with. So I think that's great, the examples that you've given.
Yeah. Or at least attempt to.
Yeah.
You know, to do that. Okay. Well, the last one is that this was the key to my system, was emphasize the connection to adult classes. And so we took very seriously the whole concept of the associate member. And so every preschool and children's worker, and there were lots of them in the church I served, every one of them was assigned to an adult class. And we were religious and judicious about making sure that was true. And I actually, I almost hate to admit this, I paid the adult classes for taking care of their associate members. They earned their fellowship money. And so once a month, everybody got a report, and there were two categories. One was active members. So active members had two components. Active members were the number of people who showed up at least one time during the month, members who came at least once to the class during the month, and the associate members who were serving in preschool children and students. And into their fellowship account, for everybody that showed up at least one time during the month, they got a quarter. For every associate member who showed up who they had on their list, they got 50 cents. So it was symbolic. But it fostered stuff like putting up posters in the adult classroom. So every adult classroom, nearly, you always have some people who don't want to do that, had at least a poster with photographs of the people who are serving in preschool children and students. They talked about their associate members. You know, they would say, hey, you know, we're glad you're here today. We've got a really great class. This isn't all of us. Chuck and Susan serve in a preschool, and their pictures are up here. We're going to pray for them today. This is their prayer request. We called them this week. Their care group leader called them this week and got this prayer request from them. And so what that more than even subtly does is to communicate to people, if you go and serve in kids, we're not going to forget
you're
you.
You're not forgotten.
Yeah.
It's important.
And we had another system. We had like 10 Sunday school parties a year, third Friday of the month, 10 of the months of the year. And so that was a big part of keeping the kids workers connected. But you have to. You got to work really hard at keeping that connection, even if you have to, you know, reward them or pay them for it.
And so there we have it, the 5 E's for engaging, enlisting, equipping, encouraging, and then that emphasizing the connection back to the adult class that can set us up for success as we look to recruit volunteers and helpers and engage them in the long haul for our kids ministry. Great
Absolutely.
Words, David. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jana, thank you as always.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And listener, thank you for listening to the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. Come back again soon for another episode, and we'll look forward to encouraging and inspiring you in your ministry.